Transformers,
more than meets the eye.
Hey, what's up? It's our Get Geekish podcast. Bino here, joined by the one and only Derek.
I like how you had to, like, after you went that high.
You know, you gotta get a lozenge, maybe. But this is our final podcast of 2018, if you can believe it.
And we're finally doing a podcast about what we've been alluding to for a while, in a sense.
We're talking Transformers a lot today. Mm-hmm. Is what he's trying to say. New Bumblebee movie came out, and we all spent Christmas morning in the movie theater watching Bumblebee on the big screen, and it has us a little giddy.
But
I want to preface it because it still has its issues.
Oh yeah,
and it's still not going to earn a bunch of awards or go down as like the greatest sci-fi movie in history.
But the good news is it shouldn't earn any Razzies like the other ones mm-hmm. have.
It was fun.
It was fun.
And there might be a few spoilers we give away in here. Nothing, we'll try to give away any plot things, but don't get mad at us if we give away a spoiler of a character or something that shows up in the movie. Because honestly, the part that I'm most excited about all happened in the first 20 minutes of the movie anyway.
And a little part in the middle.
Yeah, a little part in the middle.
Yeah.
So we won't lead you too far astray, but I think my take on it was that this made up for a lot of the other Michael Bay monstrosities because it went back to being just a fun movie.
Right.
I read somewhere online that somebody compared this to a little girl and her horse movie, which I was slightly offended by at first, but I was like, no, it kind of is. It's just a feel-good, fun-loving teen that gets made fun of that befriends a robot, and then they have to save the universe.
Okay, that's what you were talking about. That makes sense, yes. It's a think Black Beauty with a car.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically the idea of it. It's nothing earth-shattering of a story, but it's just, it goes back to being fun. The Michael Bay movies tried to be super explosions and sexy and blah, 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 and Transformers. No, it's the Transformers were toy cars that turned into robots.
Mm-hmm.
They're just fun. So it brought back the feeling of just making the movie about fun.
Right, and I think, also, if you look back to the cartoon, there wasn't a lot of explosions in that. There was, you know, some shooting and lasers here and there, but I feel like G.I. Joe had more explosions than Transformers did.
Well, best I can figure that the Transformers had aim about as good as a stormtrooper in the cartoons. Half the episode there was fighting, because pew, 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 fight, 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 pew, 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 pew.
Retreat!
And scene.
That's funny.
But, yeah, if you are a Transformers fan, I suggest that you go see Bumblebee. You're probably going to like it. And I would say the first 15 minutes of the movie, it plays out as the war for Cybertron, giving you the backstory of where they came from. And that CGI sequence was basically what my childhood dreamed of a Transformers movie being.
That, I'm pretty sure I had the stupidest smile on my face that whole, like, early 20 minutes of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it flashed to the humans, I was like, no.
Go back to the robots.
Give me more, please.
But I had Optimus Prime in his full red and blue glory with a faceplate that moved when he talked.
Soundwave with his cassette tape deck chest.
Ravage coming out of there. Shockwave with a voice that sounded like it was actually Shockwave.
Soundwave actually sounding like Soundwave.
Mm-hmm. And we got to see a lot of favorites on there. I mean, there was a lot of seekers that you could say, oh, that jet, but there were a lot of the named characters. We saw Cliffjumper in the movie. We saw... if you loved Cliffjumper, bring some Kleenex, but...
You used to have a scooter named after Cliffjumper, so...
I still have my Cliffjumper.
Right when I knew who that was, I was like, uh-oh.
At least he died proud.
Well, there's a spoiler alert.
It wasn't a big plot part, so that's okay with that. But yeah, you sent me a link earlier today about the director talking about that sequence, the fact that we might be looking forward to an actual full-blown movie about that.
Well, here's what... So right after that movie, I took to the Twittersphere and I was like, I want a War for Cybertron movie. If it's going to be like that, I want that. That redeemed... That first 15, 20 minutes almost damn near redeemed everything Michael Bay did.
Mm-hmm.
Almost. I want a full movie like that. And then when I saw that link today, and they're talking about they're doing an animated movie, but they're doing it CGI, kind of like how The Lion King, quote-unquote, live action is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going to look realistic, but it's going to be all CGI. Bring it on.
Yes, let's do it.
Please, Hasbro. I mean, there's Allspark Studios now, which they're in charge. That's who helped do Bumblebee.
Wait, did you notice that the Bumblebee movie was made by DB Pictures?
I didn't.
Derek Bino, coincidence?
Oh.
I saw that and I was like, I'm going to remember that. And
then
I
just make it happen. Look at that. Make it happen.
But yeah, the arc you sent was an interview with the director, correct?
Director and producer.
Producer,
yeah.
So they talked about when they were putting this ideas for this movie together. He said they had these meetings and came out with half a dozen legitimate options of things they could do with stories going forward, including an animated movie about the war for Cybertron and the history. And his words were basically like, yes, I think the fans would love to hear an actual story of the history of Cybertron, and we're gonna make it happen.
Isn't that what we've been preaching about since the first live-action Transformers movie?
Because,
I mean, honestly, the Michael Bay ones, they're glorified human stories with some robots in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all about, like, Sam Witwicky and with some robots.
Which government agency is going to betray which person, and which person is going to go for... Yeah.
Humans fighting robots. We don't want to see that one.
I
want to
see
robots.
A giant gun fighting for some Energon cubes.
Right?
Drinking them like tea.
Like, I'll have to say, like, the ending of Bumblebee, as, you know, anticlimactic as it was still entertaining actually seeing two robots fight each other and being able to follow what's going on and seeing who the robots were and...
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, the Michael Bay ones, when the robots are fighting each other, they're just so bland colored that it gets whitewashed out, and you're like, I don't even know who's winning.
It's like the first Hulk movie.
Yeah.
But so we won't gloss over too much of making Bumblebee sound like it's the greatest movie, because it was fun and entertaining, and I enjoyed it. But there were some problems.
Yes.
Let's go with your plot hole first for Sector 7.
I have a huge... So I think it kind of took me out of the movie for a little bit, too, is because... At one point, the Decepticons, it's in their name.
That was pretty funny.
we're helping Sector 7 was helping the Decepticons. And they linked up to our satellites and everything like that, trying to find Bumblebee. And they were at the Hoover Dam, where Sector 7 is. If you know the Michael Bay movies, that's where they're storing Megatron, who crashed to Earth in the 1800s, and they've been keeping him there since the 1920s or 30s. In also the Michael Bay movies, there's a little robot that could hack in through Air Force One and find out where he's at. So, my problem is how do they not know Megatron was there?
My only guess is maybe that there was a super secret level of Sector 7 and
Bull.
Megatron wasn't turned on because they were searching for Energon spikes because they couldn't find Bumblebee until there was a spike of Energon. So if Megatron was inactive and... But there'd be some mention of it.
Yeah, there'd be some mention, because that's how it was. Remember when they were looking for the AllSpark crap in the first movie?
Yeah.
That they sparked it and saw the weird language, like, oh, Sam Witwicky.
And granted, there's not much you can do with that timeline, because no matter which version of the Transformers you go with, you have one where they've been on Earth for hundreds of years before they get uncovered, or you come to this one where it's from, like, the 60s and the moon landing, like, there's... The timelines just don't quite match up.
Right. So basically, I want to take Bumblebee with a grain of salt and say that they're kind of just paying homage to the Michael Bay ones, but they're wiping all of that history away.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's exactly like you said. I mean, the Michael Bay ones, the timeline gets so convoluted, especially with the last night going back and forth and like, oh, they've been here since 1942 helping out and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, we're just going to say we're going to go like the mass reduction units that the Transformers have. How when as a kid you go, how come when Megatron's a big giant robot, he's like four stories tall, but then he's a gun that one little person can pick up and shoot?
Right, or he's a gun that a robot can pick up and shoot.
Yeah, they just made they can just change their mass when they transform. Yeah, yeah, that'll do it. So
right.
The Michael Bay movies, they never happened, right? Yeah, yeah, that was just a story we told our kids.
Well, and I think the thing is, too, is like, like even with the War for Cybertron movie, there's a lot of Transformers there, but it didn't feel overdone like the Michael Bay ones were.
Mm.
You know, and especially here's a spoiler alert, Optimus Prime ends up on Earth on Bumblebee. Michael Bay ones, he didn't show up until Bumblebee radioed for help.
Mm-hmm.
So there's another timeline screw.
But despite
there.
That coming on, when you see that silver trailer getting pulled by the red flatbed truck.
Oh, man. Woo! I'll tell you, that's where I had another huge grin, because I was like... I was looking around the theater seeing if anybody else knew it, but nobody else did. I was like, oh my gosh.
I looked around and realized that my wife was staring at me looking for whatever reaction I was going to
have. Yeah, like, oh, is that a good thing?
No, because she knew what she recognized. She's like, oh, here it comes.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I was just clapping right then for some reason.
But it just, like, actually pulling the trailer and looking OG and...
Mm-hmm. Well, we talked about when we were... previewing this movie coming out, we were worried that it was going to be a big letdown of a bunch of fan service. And it held up of being like, it aimed to please the fans of the original series and then didn't pull the rug out from under us.
Right. I think it's like when you go to a grocery store and they're doing sample day and you get a sample of something, you're like, that was really good. And then you actually get it and you're like, that's amazing. That's kind of like what it was with the trailer where they're like, there's some G1 people in here. And then you watch it and you're like, all right, so this is kind of a little girl story, but Transformers.
Mm-hmm. And the soundtrack of the movie was pretty fun, too. A bunch of 80s tunes.
I really enjoyed that aspect, too. I was like, this is just awesome. I mean, since we're talking the 80s Transformers right now, you know, Transformers the movie, opening weekend, made $1,779. Opening weekend for Bumblebee was $21 million.
Mm-hmm.
So, pretty good. You know, the original Transformers was somewhere around $70 million. The second one was $108 million. That was the best performing one. Dark of the Moon, 97. Age of Extinction, which we were really excited about and was let down, was 100. And then last night was 44 for opening weekend. So, yeah.
Just goes to show you that dollar signs don't always point to good movies.
Well, considering, too, Bumblebee, out of all the Transformers movies, not counting the animated one, the production budget was only $102 million. Well, I mean, that was...
only.
Only. But that's the cheapest one. The next cheapest one was the first Transformers at $151. So...
Well, you compare it to the mass audience for this movie, too. To the average person that is not a complete Transformers nerd like either of us, you're the sixth Transformers movie in a decade. You're like, okay... Got it. Had enough. Don't care anymore. And the last ones were terrible. Why would I want another one? But this one is definitely backing up and going in a different direction. I'd be like, to average people, imagine if they said, oh, guess what? We're redoing The Last Airbender live action. The Last Airbender 2, go see it. It'll make up for the first one. Would you believe it?
If Shyamalan's name wasn't on it, I'd go see it.
I didn't say would you see it. I say would you believe it? Would you believe the hype?
Me? No.
No.
Well, even you and I, we knew we were going to see this movie, but we tried not to fall into the hype, especially when they started flashing our childhood in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's like porn for nerds.
So far, worldwide box office, Bumblebee's at $65 million, you know, and the budget was $102 million. So it's got a little ways to go to peak over that for potential extra ones to happen. I hope it happens.
Yeah, I hope it does, too. Push it over the edge.
Please.
And I feel like almost all the reviews, I mean, obviously there's people that don't like it, but it's been very positive as far as critics going of it. And I feel like those kind of movies have a much more longevity when it comes to, when people like the movie, then people go back and watch it again. People buy it when it comes out on DVD and digital, and then it has a little more staying power, but it just doesn't have that initial first weekend draw of like, oh, wow.
Well, especially, and I think I understand why they released it now, but I also think they shot themselves in the foot because they released it the same weekend as Aquaman.
Yeah.
So, you got a DC powerhouse.
And if you're going for ticket sales in the modern society we live in, you have Jason Momoa and, Amber Heard, wet underwater,
mm-hmm.
or a 16-year-old girl that works at a corndog on a stick stand.
Right.
Which one's going to sell more tickets for this day and age?
Or the... comedy duo of Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly getting a 0% from critics and viewers for Holmes.
That's a shame. That looks like it could be a good, like, 25-minute movie.
That's maybe a rental. But, I mean, I wish that they would have released it at a different time, because then it probably would have been more successful. But,
yeah, but
they also know how bad the last movie was.
Yeah.
Even though it still made money.
I did hear a few people complaining that they were upset they made a Bumblebee movie because they picked the kid Transformer, the stupid one. I look back at that, and Bumblebee has always been a staple of the Transformers franchise.
Mm-hmm.
You go back at BotCon 2010, he was one of the first five robot inductees into the Transformers Hall of Fame. I didn't realize there was one of those, but I feel like I have to go see it now.
Where is it?
I don't know. Let's find out.
We need to get sponsored so we can take a road trip there, you know.
We'll do some digging and find that out.
So did you, what are the top five?
I don't know. This was just on part of the Wikipedia article about Bumblebee. But, I mean, you look at, he was in all the original G1s. He was in the G2. He was in Armada. He was in Energon. He was the cartoons. He's always been one of the main characters.
Isn't he in Beast Wars too?
I believe so, yeah. Let's see. He was in Headmasters. So maybe not Beast Wars.
But he's been around.
Yeah. He's been around a lot of them. And fun fact, too. You know he's called around the world?
What?
Here, he is Bumblebee. And he also got rebuilt into a more mature and stronger version as Goldbug.
Goldbug, okay. Mm-hmm.
But in Mexico, he is Abejorro. In Japan, he's just Bumble. In Portugal, he is Moscardo. In Hungary, he is Yordongo. In Italy, he is Maggiolino. And in France, he is Bourdon. Or Bourdon.
But he's a bug in every single one of them, right?
Yeah, because it's the same cartoon, just translated stuff like that. But he's like the little brother of the heroes in almost all the storylines. He is the little engine that could have the Transformers.
Yeah, he was always the smallest one. Like, maybe not like vehicle-wise, but they always drew him very tiny.
Well, he was in the toys. He was one of the mini-bots.
Yeah.
He was one of the little tiny ones that you can compare next to Optimus Prime, and even in the toy line. Like, I have it in my hand.
Right here.
Yeah, right here, yeah. This thing is, 3.5 inches tall. It doesn't go up to Optimus Prime's kneecap if he had such a thing. He was a little robot, but that was the whole idea of him. He was a spy. He was stealthy, but he was still strong, which is kind of fun because when it goes in the movies, even the Michael Bay ones, but more so in this one, he was this little tiny bug, but he was still able to take out some seeker jets that were obviously bigger and stronger than him, but he had some tricks up his sleeve and some power hidden away.
Even in the video games, he was like that.
Yeah, it's like you just don't expect him to have that
quick flash. My thing is, I understand that they said why he lost his voice, but hearing him talk in the beginning, I was like, aw. It brought back flashes of the G1 and the Transformers, the original movie, not the Michael Bay one. But
yeah, that was one problem because he was one of the voices that didn't jive for me because his voice in the cartoon was so specific.
Yeah.
And the fact that Cliffjumper wasn't Casey Kasem made me hurt a little bit.
Hey, you can't please everybody.
I know, but still.
I was a little disappointed. Soundwave wasn't Frank Welker, I don't think, but.
But at least it sounded like Soundwave. They didn't pull the Starscream thing that Michael Bay movies did.
Where they got Mr. Anderson to do Megatron and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I would like to talk with Frank Welker, see what he's going to see if he can talk with Travis Knight. They can do a War for Cybertron movie together because, Frank Welker was a voice of Megatron and Soundwave and a couple others, I think.
Yeah, Frank Welker is one that I would love to be able to get a hold of someday. And the fact that Peter Cullen's going to be, was at the Vegas Toy Con or something this year?
So was Frank Welker, wasn't he? Sent me something on
it. That was Peter Cullen, I thought.
Oh,
one of the ones, but they're in Vegas, so we might have to figure out a way to make a road trip to see if that happens.
Right. Hey, again, sponsors.
I know every single person in this line wants you to say the same thing, but can you say it for me while I record it and then faint?
What would you want him to say?
I don't even know.
You go up to Peter Cullen, you have him say one thing. I know hands down what I would say.
What's that?
One shall stand, one shall fall. Come on. I mean, yeah, roll out. One shall stand, one shall fall. See if you could do that whole monologue. That'd be awesome.
That's true. Maybe I just ask him to tell me I can light his darkest hour.
Dude, putting the touch in Bumblebee?
That was awesome.
Oh, man.
Yeah, a little Stan Bush action that they actually played in there, and it fit with the movie.
Well, my wife and my kid looked at me when that played, because that's my ringtone.
Uh-huh.
So, you've got the touch. I was just like, oh. They did some good fan service. They didn't go over the top with it.
Yeah, nothing there felt completely forced. I mean, obvious parts of it were for certain things, but it wasn't, we just have to put this in here to make somebody happy. It flowed very well. It was put together nicely, directed and produced well. I'm still just giddy over the fact that it wasn't terrible. Is that bad of me?
No. It wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible.
And it was very lovable and entertaining, and my daughter loved it.
Yeah. Which is great.
Yeah.
I mean, the villains were kind of generic, the triple changers. I like that they actually made them triple changers, but they're just kind of generic.
Yeah.
Do we even know their names?
I will look. I didn't think we caught them in the movie.
Do you know what? This was very quick in the beginning on the War for Cybertron part. Did you see RC?
Yeah. Saw RC in there. Who else did we see? We saw Brawn for sure.
I think Hound.
Possibly Hound. Maybe.
But seeing RC, I was like, they actually made her look like her.
Mm-hmm. Because they've butchered RC with some of the toys they've done in the past.
Mm-hmm. And in the Michael Bay movies where they tried to make it.
Oh, yeah, her and Alita 1.
Yeah.
The motorcycle baloney. Friggin' hover car, dang it. No, that was Blur. She was just regular pink car. Okay, so Dropkick was one.
Okay.
And Shatter was the other main one.
Did they even say their names in that?
I don't think they did, because I don't remember hearing the name at all.
I don't either.
But supposedly, the one that looked like Starscream was Blitzwing.
On the War for Cybertron part?
No, on Earth.
Oh, when he was fighting at the construction plate?
Yeah, which makes you feel better, because when he was talking and whatever happened to him that happened to him, he had such a low voice. I'm like, that's not Starscream, but then it was Blitzwing, so okay, fair enough.
Well, I knew it wasn't Starscream because it wasn't whiny enough. I mean, you got to look back to the cartoon, too. A lot of them look the same because I think they got lazy with the animations.
Well, and the toys.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still a couple of us that go back there, and I remember them even as a kid being like, wait a second, you see him flying, and it's like Starscream flying and talking, but then all of a sudden he's black and purple, and you're like, that's Skywarp. What is wrong with you? And the next one, then the jets just magically change color in midair. You're like, wait a second. But the Hasbro is notorious for that, because the toys back then and the ones they do nowadays, they just use the same molds and then change the color and one part. Like, they recast the head and then change the colors. Like, all right, there's another jet. Sweet. What do we call this one? Firecracker. Okay. Change the colors again. What do you call this one? Skywarp. Okay, sweet. We got like 5 toys coming out of here. I think Hoist and one of the other Autobots were the exact same mold. Inferno and...
Well, I mean, to be fair, look at Soundwave and...
Blaster.
Yeah, Blaster.
Yeah. They're almost identical.
Just the colors are different.
Mm-hmm.
And one's, you know... Talking cool.
Well, actually, believe it or not, if you go back to the original G1 toys, the toys for Soundwave and Blaster are dramatically different. They're not cast from the same things at all.
But in the cartoon...
Well, in the cartoon, because everything in the cartoon had to balance out. They had to like fight each other when they came out with one combiner bot, then there had to be another combiner bot that matched its power and all this kind of stuff. But considering that Soundwave and Blaster were, in fact, the exact same things, the fact that they didn't use the same mold for them both made me very, very happy.
Are you still listening? Do we still have your attention? I feel like we're on one of those ones like, back in episode 3 of season 2, Optimus changed the color, and that's how they got Ultra Magnus.
That's how we roll when it comes to these guys, all right?
We've been warning about... You know, I mean, you've been getting a glimpse of us going off on tangents about Transformers here and there.
This is just getting at some of our system. So next week we could do a sans Transformers cast.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. We've got to do something for the first one for the new year.
Yeah, yeah.
We're coming up to our first podcast was on January 5th, so.
Yeah, it'll be our second year of doing it, I guess.
1 year anniversary of podcasts.
Wow, that sounded exciting.
Well, no, I'm trying
Welcome to our 1 year anniversary of podcasting.
I was trying to do the math.
Woohoo.
Yay.
It'll be all ASMR.
Let's not.
Come on. Okay. I realized a fun fact, too, about Bumblebee is one of the toys I never actually owned.
Because you didn't like him.
No, I like Bumblebee.
Oh, I thought you didn't. There's one of them that you really didn't care for. And I'm not talking about, you know, there's Wheeljack and... Not Wheeljack. Wheelie.
Uh-huh.
And,
Yeah, Wheelie didn't care for it too
sea
much.
Sea Spray.
I still have a soft spot for Sea Spray. Maybe I was proud of him for getting with a mermaid girl. But
that was such a weird episode. Man. If we should go back and do 80s episodes that confused us. Not like just Transformers, but...
Maybe we should do some Mystery Science Theater version on those kind of things. That'd be fun.
Because there's quite a few episodes, if you look at like G.I. Joe, He-Man, Transformers, I mean, all that stuff, you watch it now, you're like,
wait a second.
How am I not on drugs?
But yeah, I mean, I've got this G1 reissue I just picked up at the store today, which is amazing, but I still have my old box of toys in the basement, and I had one that was like Bumblebee, but back to our toy conversation, I had a red cliff jumper, and I had the yellow version of the red cliff jumper, which is a slightly different car. It wasn't a bug. It looked like a little Civic hatchback or something like that, and it was yellow. So I always just called it Bumblebee, even though it wasn't Bumblebee. And my wife always talked about she had a Bumblebee when she was a kid. She loved it, and she was explaining it to me, and I was looking through. I'm like, no, you had the GoBot. No, it's a Transformer. And I looked at the picture. She's like, oh, yeah, I guess it was. So I just didn't know. And I had the same thing. There was a GoBot named Bee Sting or Bug Sting, something like that, and it was a yellow Volkswagen Beetle. But the GoBot ones were actually die-cast metal, and I'm fairly certain that probably sold a lot of GoBots because everybody thought it was Transformers. Because I had it on there, and I when he was transformed, he looked just like Bumblebee. When you transform, he looked completely different because the GoBots had a completely different shape and weird little, like, claw arms and things like that.
I want to know, like, because GoBots came before Transformers.
And technically.
Then, yeah.
They're very close.
Yeah. But I'm still, I mean, I guess it's like the Marvel DC universe where, like, hey, that kind of looks like one of our superheroes.
Is it Prowler or is it Marvel's Prowler?
Is that Deadpool or is that Deathstroke? I don't even know. But, I mean, that's... GoBots have got to be feeling that shame because they're not even around anymore.
Well, yeah, but... I mean, as cheesy as things like the whole Decepticons being the bad guys and stuff like that, GoBots seem to have a little bit... I mean, Leader One, Psy-Kill, and they tried to make... like. Transformers had Bumblebee as the little brother, the little engine that could of the Transformers that was trying to do things right. The GoBots had Scooter. And he talked like a Smurf.
Yo, thanks, Leader One. We're going to go stop the evil GoBots. Psycho's coming to get it.
Like, no. It was too much.
You still own GoBots, don't you?
A couple of them.
The animated series I'm talking.
I wish. I've been trying to find it. I can't shell it out for the DVD, though.
Speaking of shelling out, I also...
GoBots and the Complete Mask series are on my list.
Mask? For Christmas, I found a G1 reissue of Optimus Prime, and I was going to get that for you. Then I saw the price tag and about crap my pants.
120 or so?
I think it was at like 140.
Yeah.
But I hate that they're feeding on our nostalgia like that.
Oh, I know.
They know what they're doing.
There's some of those. Like, even the 25th anniversary Optimus... Not the Masterpiece one, but just the 25th anniversary version they put out. That has been on my Amazon wish list for probably 9 years. And I still can never bring myself to pull the trigger. I'm like, that is way too much money for a toy. Especially because I need to get two because I need to open one.
And I'm kicking myself because I remember that 1 year you got the reissue of Soundwave or whatever. And you told me where it was. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll go get it. And then I never did. And then I finally go into Toys R Us, and I'm like, you guys don't have it anymore. Cool.
Yeah.
And even that was, what, 30 or 40?
Oh, that one was still 50, I think.
Jeez.
Because they got a new one now. We're full on geek out, I think, at Target I saw. Because they've got the new Transformers Universe ones. And they have a Soundwave that looks like a full-on ghetto blaster. And I'm like, oh, cool. But it's $50. And it's, you know, 6 inches long. It's not like a giant one.
I think Hasbro knows what they're doing. They did the Michael Bay movie push. They put out those blasphemous Transformers from that movie, and they're like, oh, these aren't selling as well. And then they put out the retrofitted ones, and cash grab.
Yeah, but even those, they put out some weird ones of those, too.
Yeah.
They've got, like, the black Rodimus Prime. That's not a racist thing. It's he's actually black, and they put, like, dark glasses and a mustache on his face, and it's, like, Dark Seed Rodimus Prime or something. You're like, what the hell is this? Like,
what are you guys doing? I do have to say, like, when the War for Cybertron video game came out, you were hesitant about that, and then we played it, and they did a decent job, and even though they made Megatron a tank. And
it was decent, but I still wish they would have made that game when they were more G1 looking. Because the War for Cybertron stuff's okay, but it's still just not...
Well, Bumblebee wasn't a bug in the movie until he got to Earth, so...
I know, but we didn't really get to see what he actually was on Cybertron, did we?
He was a car.
But did we ever see him transformed?
Yeah.
You sure?
I think. We'll have to go see it. We'll go rewatch.
And they used the actual sound.
Yep, they did.
They transformed with the actual...
Man, that sounded like it was right here with me.
No, it didn't. It sounded like I had something stuck in my throat. I tried, though.
I feel like we could just keep talking because there's 3 seasons of the G1 and then there's some decent spinoffs of that.
Well, even G2 was decent. Like, brought back Optimus Prime and whatnot. But once they went down the whole room of, like, hunting down the Quintessons and other planets, it got just a little... Once it went down, I didn't like the head changers that much. When I was a kid, I had a few of the headmasters. I did not like the headmaster's deviation of things.
Yeah, you're still kind of a purist in that. I remember one time we were walking down Target or Toys R Us or something, and I was like, hey, look at this. You're like, headmaster.
I'm still that with Beast Wars. I know you liked Beast Wars.
Nope, I didn't. I watched it because there was nothing else on during that time of the day.
It counts.
That the anime, I hated it because the animation was so stupid.
So painful.
The CGI in that was, oh, it was.
It's like they gave the keys to Max Headroom and let him go.
Well, it never left a certain area because they couldn't afford to animate anything else.
Yeah. There were three places we can have battles. The desert, the mountain, or inside the cave.
I think once in a while they'd throw in an ocean if they had the budget for it. But the only reason I watched it, I didn't like it. The only reason I watched it because there's nothing on at like 3 or 3:30 at a certain point. And I was like, eh, it's something.
You know what's weird about me? Right now they have one of the big Voyager class Optimus Primal toys, where they made the Beast War kind of version of Optimus Prime. Every time I see it in Target, I put it face down on the shelf.
So if you're going through Target and you see a Transformer face down, it's not because of a kid.
Beano was here. Anyone who buys this shall be cursed forever with Michael Bayness.
That sounds horrible.
I know.
There's explosions every... Never mind.
It's all itchy.
I feel like we've been rambling a while.
We have. We've talked about Bumblebee, but to bring it full circle, Bumblebee came out. It was a Christmas present for both of us.
Yep.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. And news that we might actually get a full-on War for Cybertron movie.
I hope we don't have to wait too long, but I also hope that it's done well. I kind of just want to go back to the theater, watch the first 20 minutes again, and then leave. I mean, and that's
I wouldn't be opposed to that.
That's not saying it's a bad movie. It's just, that was so glorious.
Maybe they'll have even, maybe when the Blu-ray comes out, they'll have like some bonus scenes and maybe it'll be 25 minutes. You hear me there, Paramount Pictures? Little bonus features?
Come on, AllSpark Productions. Come on, Hasbro. Give us what we want. They're like our dealers and they gave us a little taste and they're like, you want more? Wait.
No, give me the blue stuff. Give me the blue stuff.
So, all right, let's wrap this up. Favorite Transformer?
Favorite Transformer? That's the loaded question. Dang it.
No, all time.
All time. Well, Optimus would be my favorite of all time.
Gotcha. Soundwave.
Soundwave. That's a good one.
My daughter asked me, she's like, what's your favorite? I was like, Soundwave. He's a bad guy. I was like, yeah, I like the Decepticons. Why? Because they're cooler.
And in all honesty, Soundwave was on the bad side, per se, but did Soundwave ever do anything that was horribly bad?
No, that's why he had his little minions pop out of his chest.
No, he was just Megatron was the boss, and he did what Megatron said. He was a good number two. He was the Riker to the Mega Picard.
Technically, he was the number three. Starscream was the number two, for whatever reason.
No, he was not.
I mean,
Starscream said he was number two. Everybody knew that
We're going down another rabbit hole. All right. Transform. Roll out. Retreat. Something.
All right, let's get geeky. So let's know what you thought about the... That was a sentence right there. Can you believe that? You need to let us know what you thought of the new Bumblebee movie.
Did it redeem the Transformers? In my opinion, I think so.
I think it laid the groundwork too, at least.
Yeah.
It laid the groundwork to possibly wipe away the Michael Bay stain.
Yep.
And now you've seen a glimpse into what goes on to these heads.
We didn't even open up the full floodgates. That was just a little trickle. Why do I say stuff? All right.
He's still got his finger in the Transformers damn hole. That's the one to end it with. All right. It's Get Geekish. Follow us on the socials at Get Geekish, and we will talk to you next week. I'm not going to make the next year joke. Not going to happen.
Nope.